Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
All right, let's get right to it. The Bears had their press conference yesterday. George McCaskey, Ted Phillips met the media first. Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy afterwards. Everyone is back for next year. George McCaskey taking time out of his schedule. He joins us right now on the Corona Hotline on Waddle and Sylvie. Hi, George. How you feeling?
Good, Sylvie. Hello, Waddle.
Hello,
hey,
George.
I know you both probably have plenty of questions for me.
We do.
But before we get too far into it, I just want to congratulate you, Sylvie, on your continued medical progress. I'm sure you've heard from a lot of people in the last several months who care about you and want the best for you. Got a lot of people rooting for you, including we at Hallis Hall. So keep it up.
And we appreciate that. My family does, my entire family. I appreciate that. George, let's get to the press conference. You are a guy who cares about what the fans think. And universally, on our radio station, on Twitter, through the media, locally and nationally, it's nearly been universal criticism over the press conference yesterday. Do you have regrets over the message and your decision?
No, we knew that we weren't going to please everybody. Maybe the minority would be in favor of the course of action that we took. We want to be responsive to the fans. We want to hear what they have to say. But in the end, we have to make the decision that we think is best for the Bears, and we think we did.
George, after the loss to the Saints on Sunday, were you ready to make changes? And was there something that Ryan or Matt or Ted or the three of them collectively said to you that led you to remain status quo?
No, Tom, it's an ongoing process. It's over the course of the entire season. And really, as we explained yesterday, we take the person's entire body of work, not one game, not even one season. Take the whole body of work and see if the relationship should continue. The result of the game Sunday didn't tilt us one way or the other. All it did was assure that we had not a 500 season, but a losing season.
So the outcome of the game against the Saints in the postseason played no role in any of the decisions that you ultimately, as the chairman, made?
Well, you want to see, of course, how we're doing, right, how we're playing, how we're executing the game plan, clock management, that kind of thing. So it's part of the consideration. But what I was trying to say is no one game determined our course of action.
So going into that game, George, did you know, or was it based on the conversations you had with Ryan and Matt after that game?
Well, Ted and I had conversations all along with each other, and we communicate regularly with Ryan and Matt. So it's an ongoing process. But we wanted to make sure that we had a good conversation with both Ryan and Matt at the conclusion of the season before making a final decision.
We're talking to George McCaskey. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Look, I'm going to be straightforward to you, candid. I say things on the radio, and if I say them on the radio, I have to tell you when I have you on our show. The thing that I've been preaching, George, that I want to see as a diehard Bears fan is change at the top. Because to me as a Bears fan, 35 years without a Super Bowl, 10 years without a playoff win, you've lost 9 out of 10 to the Packers. You're 13-28 against the Packers since 2000. You've never had a star at quarterback, and you've only had 7 playoff appearances since Coach Ditka was fired. To me, it goes above Ryan and Matt. Have you thought about a football president and moving Ted off to the side? He's had 21 years. George, why don't you change things at the top?
in our structure, the general manager is the football guy. So I know different structures work for different organizations. We think we have the right structure, and we think we have the right people in that structure. I tried to explain yesterday that this notion that Ted meddles in football affairs simply isn't true. Yes, Ryan reports to Ted in our structure, but Ryan, the general manager, is the football guy.
One thing about that, and I've never accused Ted of meddling, but like what you just said, that you and Ted, the decision-making process was ongoing. Like, why is Ted involved? He's had 21 years. You've not won a Super Bowl. You've been to one. You're a big Chicago sports fan. Things didn't change with the Blackhawks until Rocky changed the structure. Things didn't change with the Cubs until they changed the structure with Tom Ricketts. Why are you apprehensive to move Ted off to the side and to let someone else be your president?
Well, I think in both the case of the Blackhawks and the Cubs, it wasn't so much the structure as the people they brought in. And I don't know all of the intricacies of the situation, but I think in the Cubs case, they did what they needed to do to get Theo Epstein to come aboard. And it worked out great. I mean, I'm a Cubs fan. I was thrilled with the result, but I don't think it was so much the structure as the people within the structure.
Were you thinking at all about putting in a call to Theo to at least advise you?
No.
Why not?
Well, we thought we had good advice from people we trust. I've met him once. I can't say that I really know him. Have probably a far better relationship with Tom Ricketts than anybody else at the Cubs. So we felt good about the people that we conferred with when we made our decision.
George, what do you say to the fans who call us and some believe that you made the decision that you made this time to save money, or that you're not motivated to consistently win because the value of your asset, the organization, is so high that there is no incentive to win year to year? What do you say to those fans that think money is a huge motivating factor for the decisions being made?
Well, I've said many times, maybe on your show, that if it were all about the money for our family, we would have sold a long time ago. We're in this because we're committed. We want to preserve and advance the legacy of George Halas, and we think we're uniquely qualified to do so. I was asked the question directly yesterday, was money a factor in our decisions? And I said it had no impact whatsoever.
You know, you mentioned people rooting for me up there. I got a call from Matt Nagy. I like Matt personally. I think Ryan Pace is a nice guy. Waddle and I have been wondering, though, are you blinded by the fact that Matt and Ryan are good guys and you're not judging their football missteps?
Well, first of all, I agree with you wholeheartedly. They are good guys. But in the end, winning is what matters, and that's what we're focused on. And we need people that are going to bring wins to the Chicago Bears. So, yeah, they're nice guys, but that's not really part of the analysis.
George, on that topic, Ted said yesterday in the press conference, he said that, yes, you guys have not gotten the quarterback position right, and you haven't won enough games. And we all know that those are two of the most important criteria for winning and being a winning franchise. When the president of football ops makes that admission, does that not lead to some desire to create some change within the hierarchy of the organization when not getting the most important position correct and not winning enough games are two admissions?
Well, I got to offer a mild correction. Ted is not the president of football ops. Ted is the president and CEO. And to get back to Sylvie's question of a little bit back, you know, if you talk about bringing in a quote unquote football guy, at some point, somebody has to make the decision to bring that person in. And even if you argue that that whoever that person is or whoever that group of people are not football people, you know, it's just a question of where in the structure the football person comes. In our structure, it's the general manager. Ted oversees Ryan's performance, but he also oversees the business operation of the Bears. That's, I would say, fairly common. You see different structures, variations on the theme in other organizations, but we feel this is the proper structure for us.
George, I would ask you then, who would then make the decision if you come to the end of the road with Ryan and you decide that he's not the guy to take you to the next level? Who makes that decision then if Ryan's in charge of all football operations?
The decision to hire or fire the general manager and the head coach is made by the president and CEO and chairman in consultation with ownership and the board of directors.
And that's just why I keep, and that's why I'm frustrated. I, someone who's held that position for 21 years, Ted's been in those interviews, hiring and firing guys for 21 years. For 21 years, you said winning is the ultimate characteristic you're looking for. Don't you believe that you haven't won enough over under the leadership of Ted Phillips?
I think we haven't won enough under the leadership of George McCaskey, and that's what we're working on to get better.
As far as finding the quarterback, George, the list that Ryan Pace has acquired, it's Brian Hoyer, Matt Barkley, Mitch Trubisky, Mark Sanchez, Mike Glennon, Chase Daniel, Tyler Bray, and Nick Foles. When I read you those names, why do you believe Ryan Pace is going to find your forever quarterback?
Hold on a second. You were breaking up there a little bit, Mark, but I think you said with that lineup of names of quarterback.
Right. I said, why do you believe Ryan Pace is going to get this right?
Well, we think he's grown in the job. Yes, there have been mistakes along the way, but everybody makes mistakes. If I could offer by way of analogy, your broadcast partner, Tom Waddle, when he got into the profession he's in now, I think he would be the first to tell you he struggled, but he got better.
Still am.
And the people that brought him on had faith in him and stuck with him. And now the guy's a pro's pro. I don't know if he's still flying out to the coast on a regular basis, but he's got exposure on various platforms. And the guy's an absolute stud. And part of the reason for that is his ability. Part of the reason for that is his work ethic. And a small part of that is that the people that brought him in stuck with him.
George, I appreciate the kind words. And before we let you go, and I know we don't have you for long, I just wanted to ask you, because it's a question that is always important, and I'm being serious, do the losses to Green Bay still sting more than the other losses?
Always. Go Rams. But it's not just the rivalry going back 100 years. And I've talked to Ryan and Matt about this. It's not just that I have had a strong dislike for the team up north since I was a little kid, but how you do in your division largely determines the success of your season. And I would say, by and large, year in and year out, going back to when you were playing, Tom, the Packers have been the primary obstacle to success. So we've got to do better against them. Sylvie gave us the depressing numbers. We've got to improve that in order to get where we want to go.
George, really quick, the culture that you guys hit on, I understand that, like what you're looking for, but you had two wide receivers do the same thing to the same player against the same team in different games. Doesn't that speak poorly to the culture?
I think each of those situations needs to be evaluated separately. You're talking about Javon Wims against the Saints in the regular season game at Soldier Field, and then Anthony Miller in the playoff game against the Saints down in New Orleans. In the first instance, Javon acted impulsively. He let another player get the better of him, and he acted out. He was immediately remorseful. He served a suspension. He said he would do better. And he came back and worked his butt off to try to help the team. I have a bigger problem with Anthony's ejection, because they sat him down and they told him, listen, watch out for this player. He's a punk. He's going to try to get under your skin. And with Darnell Mooney out, we really need you to be in this game and help this team. And Anthony had the benefit of having seen Javon's experience. So I think they need to be evaluated separately. And I've got a bigger problem with Anthony's ejection than I do with Javon's.
Yeah. Is his future in doubt because of that?
That's not up to me.
George, we appreciate your time. You've always been good with us, answering the questions that we have. You know how passionate Waddle is as a former player. I'm a passionate guy growing up here. So thank you for taking time.
Thanks, George.
Appreciate it both. Go Bears.
Go Bears.
There you go. There's George McCaskey.
George,
I want to get
a
your
shot
thoughts.
At my broadcasting acumen there to start. I think he's done that to me in the past before as well.
You think so? Yeah.
Well, he knocked me down to build me up. So at least he had some nice things to say.
Yeah, tried to kill us with kindness in the beginning too. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. I don't understand why he's so committed to what they have structurally up there. That's the most confusing thing for me. I can only tell him the way I think and what I'm selling on the air. And I gave him all the facts. What did you think of what George had to say? Did it clarify anything better to you today than yesterday? Are you even more confused after hearing that? We'll take all your calls and we'll evaluate what we just heard coming up next.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
See, you hear the passion from George McCaskey. You hear his hatred for the Packers. You know he heard the record that I gave, 13-28 since 2000, basically like 99 is when Ted took over. I believe that does include the 99 season when I calculated that. I believe that is Ted Phillips's record as president against the Packers, 13-28. You know all of this. You know he wants to win, or I think that. I don't know anymore. And then you throw all this stuff at him about Ted and the record, and while he says he doesn't meddle, he does tell you that he's in charge of Ryan Pace's fate,
right?
And that he consults with Ted, number one, over the future of Ryan and Matt, and why don't you want to change? And he just won't budge.
Few things here. First of all, George has always picked up the phone for us. Okay, now we put in, if I'm not, am I right, Adam? We asked for George, we asked for Matt, we asked for Ryan.
Right. That George, was my, yes. George, I went to Faber okay, and right. I asked for all three.
Okay. George is always the guy that picks up the phone and talks to us. We may not agree with some of the decisions
he
makes.
The last 2 years he has.
Yes. So I'm saying, like, I give him credit for that. I give him credit for coming on and talking with us. You know, again, like I said, I'm not necessarily in agreeing with a lot of what he says. It's the reason why I'm with you. I think that what I take most from this interview is the thought that Ted Phillips isn't playing a large role with regard to football decisions up at Halas Hall, I think is a false statement. And right. I think that, you know, yes, it's easy to say he's not involved in day-to-day operation. Of course, he's not calling the Jets sweep to Cole Kmet on the goal line against Jacksonville. That's not Ted, okay? Ted's also not asking why you're not giving the ball to David Montgomery. Ted's also not asking why you chose Jalen Johnson in the second round of this past draft. I get all of that. But that's why I circled back and asked him the question. If for whatever reason the decision needs to be made that Ryan Pace is run as the general manager of this team, who makes that decision? And his answer was Ted. So,
yes.
Like, that is all you need to know with regard to the question of whether or not Ted's involved in football decisions.
Right. And when you say to yourself, this is a team that's been around for 101 years, the Charter franchise. This is a team that for years can't win and sustain it. They've been to back-to-back postseasons in the last 25 years once, 05, 06, okay? Very few postseasons in general. They can't get the quarterback right. So it's a systemic issue. It's year in and year out. So change that. Change it at the top. And who is involved in all the hiring of the football people? While he's not a football guy, it's Ted Phillips. When George McCaskey needs advice, and George admittedly doesn't know a lot about football, who does he go to? He goes to another man who doesn't know a lot about football. That, to me, is wrong. And when you look in the mirror and when you want to evaluate your own team and you say, where have we missed? Why do we consistently lose to the Packers? Why do we consistently miss out on the quarterbacks? Why do we not get to the playoffs more consistently? You say, we've got to look what's poisoning the water. And while we've changed the, quote, football people, the one constant has been the guy who's been the president of the team.
And you have a professional football team. What's the most important component of your professional football team, a 53-man roster?
What is the what?
The most important component of a football team. I would suggest to you that it's the talent on that team.
Right.
Coaches are important. There's a lot of things that are important. But the talent on that team will define you more readily and more frequently than any other aspect of it. If you've got a great quarterback and good offensive personnel, you're going to score a lot of points and win a lot of games, right? If you've got better players than we do. So you could then connect the dots and suggest that the general manager of a football team is, in most instances, the most important person inside that organization. Could you make a statement for that?
Yes, yes, right.
Who's in charge of hiring the most important person inside your franchise?
Ted.
That guy is a football decision maker. If that guy's in charge of deciding who your architect of your organization is, that guy is wielding tremendous power. And if he gets it wrong, your roster isn't going to look very good. And whatever coach comes in isn't going to have the necessary groceries to make you a delicious meal.
Right. So and when you're the president and your GM goes rogue, you had all the situation for that. You were the guy who hired him. You're the guy who he reports to, allowing him to go rogue in the most important decisions of your team.
You know this because you've been covering this team. How many general managers has Ted Phillips been part of hiring?
Remember, this is a team that went from Venisi at the end of the 80s till the early 2000s when they hired Angelo. Okay? So they get Ted, and Ted hires Angelo. Angelo's got the 10-year run. 10-year run. And then after Angelo, you went to Emory, which was here for 2 or 3 years. And then you went to Pace.
Which over the last 6 years, Ryan hasn't been a dumpster fire. There have been some nice selections. But overall, you've whiffed too often at the top of the draft. And the most important component of any professional franchise, I'll argue, is your quarterback. And you made a drastic mistake there over 6 years. Ryan, good guy, has a record of less than, that's 10 games below 500, and there's nary a playoff win on his resume. The point I'm making is, the guy who is then going to serve as the consultant, so to speak, or one of the loudest voices in the room with regard to hiring the next general manager, who is the architect of your 53-man roster, that guy is wielding tremendous power.
Yeah, we got full phone lines. Your reaction to the Ted Phillips interview. Josh and Mantino, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Josh.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you. Listen, this is going to sound insane, but keeping Nagy in Pace was the right decision, and follow the twisted logic, but here's why. Because they have done some things well and have improved a little bit. Not nearly enough, and I'm not satisfied with it. But according to the people who matter, as long as you're willing to admit, hey, we sucked at this, and you're willing to own it and not embarrass them in the media, you can embarrass us on the field, but as long as you're willing to be a stand-up guy and say, yep, we struggled, that was my bad, that's enough accountability for them. So the reason why they should stay is at least maybe they can do some things right, because until George or Ted gets out of the way or changes the way they do things, they weren't going to hire new people that were any good anyway.
Right. That's the problem. It's rinse and repeat. They keep getting it wrong over and over when they start from scratch, and it's because of the way it's been forever. It's an interesting point. Jeremy in Wheatfield. Jeremy, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It sounds like you're in Windy Field.
Yeah, always. Always. So, yeah, I just want to say thanks, Sylvie, for finding out the real answer to the problem. And I definitely feel like we're living the Bears management sleigh ride in real life.
We should replay that too, Jeremy. And again, like, people wanted to dismiss what I had to offer, and I've got nothing against Ted Phillips. Nothing. Ted's been very good to me. When I was a young reporter on the beat, I remember one time I asked him to come down to the station in person to do an interview about building a stadium. Ted's always been good to me. When you have 21 years on the job, your time is up. Time was up for Gar and Pax. Time was up for Theo. Time was up for John McDonough. Time was up for Q. Time was up for Joe Madden. And all these great names. Why isn't time up for Ted Phillips?
Well, and Ted doesn't. I mean, you could reassign Ted in a really important role. I mean, like inside the business ops of their organization.
Rick in Kenosha, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Rick.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to give a little positivity to the future of the franchise here. I don't think being 8-8 without a quarterback is the worst place to be. If you look at the teams left playing, 10 of the 14 teams that made the playoffs this year didn't tank and win one or two games and get a first overall pick with a quarterback. They were right where the Bears were. Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes. They were mid-round picks, and they put the team over the top. If the Bears are right here with a solid team, and they can get a Mac Jones or a Zach Wilson or a Kyle Trask later in the first round, maybe that's all they need. Or if they get a retread quarterback like the Titans did with Tannehill, or like the Saints did with Breeze, and they can get a Sam Darnold or a Mariota, and that's their guy, then that's the one piece, and they're boom right there where they need to be versus these teams that are one win, two win, and I don't think Trevor Lawrence is going to go to Jacksonville and make them a perennial playoff team. I think being 8-8, having a solid team in place, is the way to go. So that narrative that
pass me the Kool-Aid, Rick. Rick, pass me that Kool-Aid. Yeah, thank you.
I respectfully disagree. 8-8 in the National Football League, picking 20th. And being in that spot consistently, to me,
without a quarterback,
is football hell. Rick just told you being 8-8 without a quarterback is not a bad spot to be. I just disagree with that assessment.
332-377 says we'll go through all of your phone calls coming up next. Your reaction to George McCaskey, if you're just getting out of your car and you missed the interview with George, we're going to replay it in the 5 o'clock hour, so don't miss that.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
We'll have our usual fun inside Waddle's world at this time tomorrow. Every day at around 3:35, we start Waddle's World. Today, after just talking to George McCaskey, we want to let you, the fans, react to our interview at 332-3776. Ron in East Chicago, you're on with Waddle and Sylvie. What's up, Ronnie?
Hey, fellas. Great to be on with you.
Thank you.
I want to say I just listened to the interview, and I want to thank you guys. You guys asked very direct, very important questions that we all needed answers to. And I know that you guys have done a lot of phone interviews over the years, and I'm pretty sure you could tell when somebody's BSing you. That guy was just BSing us all of us Chicago sports fans. When you asked him the important questions, he ducked, he dodged, he waffled, he backtracked. But not only that, he gave us indications that he wasn't telling us the whole truth. And I know you're not going to, expand on it or agree with me too much because of your relationship with management, but we all heard it. you know?
Well, give me specifically what you think he was BSing us about most.
Well, when you asked him about Ted, you said he said Ted didn't dabble in football operations. But Ted's Ryan's boss, to a certain extent, he said Ted was in charge of whether or not they hired or fired
him,
Ryan.
Of course. Sure. That's everything to do with football, right?
Yeah.
Right. So how could he not dabble in football operations if he's the guy's in charge of hiring and firing him?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Ron, I've been telling people that I had to convince Cap and Hoodie on our own radio station. There are other people in this town who still want to say that Ted doesn't matter. The president of football matters. What the Packers have, look at what the Packers are owned by the people. It's ridiculous. They don't even really have an owner, but they have a guy, Mark Murphy, who played. And they have he knows football. He's their president. He's run organizations, whether it be as an athletic director, he's a former player. Now he's their president. He knows football. Under him, he's got somebody who's a general manager in Gunnenkunz. How do you say his name?
That was a good try. Move on.
That is in charge.
I'm just afraid if you try it again, it's going to go south. So
I may have a stroke, yeah. Right. And
I don't know about that, but you may pronounce it in a way that will get you kicked off the air.
So no owner, no true owner, but they've got a football guy, a president, and then they've got a general manager who's hands-on in their checks and balances. Here you don't have that.
No,
your
I know.
Your checks and balances are Ted Phillips.
And again, nobody's asking you to banish Ted to the desert, the football desert. But maybe maybe move him into a different role the way that Crane Kenny was moved into a different role. Give somebody else a shot. How many swings do you get at doing this? You know, I mean, look, you can be the guy sitting in that chair, and if you're winning consistently, you're going to stay in that chair. If you get 25 years and your resume is sketchy at best, boy,
it's time to move on.
I want somebody to love me the way that George loves Ted Phillips as the president of football ops. I think my wife does.
When we have less, I want to get to all these calls. I'll explain the history of Ted Phillips, why I believe he truly has this nine lives thing at Hallis. Let's go to Mitchell in Des Plaines. Mitchell, I need this to be a Trubisky-free zone. We're past Trubisky. We're talking Bears. What's on your mind, my brother?
Okay, Team Virgo, Team Pisces, I'm going to lay it out for you, okay? And be Trubisky-free. It's a shock, but I know it's a reality. The bottom line is you got to follow the money. In this interview, and obviously yesterday, you got to follow where the money's coming from, okay? That's Sweaty Teddy, number one. Okay, or strike one. Strike two is that because of COVID, you got to realize that he has a fiduciary responsibility. Okay, I'll repeat that. A fiduciary responsibility to make sure all the owners, quote unquote, are taken care of. So the bottom line is that they're not getting that revenue. You have a horrible season. This felt like a 6-10 season. It's not worse. Okay, and the reality is that they're never going to be held accountable under a normal set of circumstances because everybody's using this excuse called COVID-19. The bottom line is that when you had other coaches during different eras, there was a different standard. What George didn't talk about was the emphasis on beating Green Bay and getting back to basics, okay? Because it's all about the money. I don't care what people tell you in this lifetime. I don't care when they go off to, they say, oh, the integrity, and, we will because we like them. That is all smokescreen. If you really want to know what life's about, it's about the money. And the fact is that they were never going to make any what I call a paradigm shift change with Nagy and Pace because it would have cost them, now listen closely, it would have cost them a lot more money with the new contracts with a GM and a head coach than saying, you know what, let's just basically sign off on this, we'll bring them back, and we'll just start from ground zero.
Well, this is Mitchell, that's why, thanks for the call. I completely disagree with that take, and I'm not telling you I'm right. I'm looking at, and I did this earlier too, I'm looking at SpotTrack for NFL team salary cap. It's a track, the tracker. It's total cap space. Or the total cap spending. The Bears spent $204 million. There were only six teams in the league this year that spent more money than the Bears. It's not about money. George told you, and it's what I've been telling you, and George didn't tell me before George told you. If they wanted the money, if this was about money, they would have sold years ago. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me to say, well, this is all about money. If they're greedy and they want to, like, you've got how many members of the McCaskey family? Let's just say conservatively 10 to 15. No, I'm seriously. I'm being serious here. Those, all of those members of the family are multi-millionaires on paper only.
On paper only, right.
On paper only. I mean, I guarantee you that not everyone is pulling a quarter mil out of that team every year in a salary. So, like, when you tell me that it's all about money and they're saving money, these assets appreciate because there's so few of them. They're going to appreciate. Like, if this was all about saving money, and I'm not telling you that they're going to spend money stupidly, but, like George said, if this was about cash, they would have sold the team and everyone would have walked away.
I'm done defending him, though, to the fans. They could have
that. That's fine. I'm just saying I don't think it's about
money. To me, it's not about winning anymore. That's what, for whatever reason, I don't know what it is. I don't know what's going on, but I don't believe it's truly about winning anymore. Carter in River Forest, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Carter?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good.
Hey, so when McCaskey was saying everything about, like, how they got to get better against the Packers, they got to get better against the entire NFC North in general. I mean, they could have been 0-4 against the Vikings and the Lions this year. And go back to the game in December, they lost to the Lions when they just had a new coach brought in. So how can you say that you can't make changes to the entire organization and just focus on the Packers when you're in a situation in the future where you get your butts whooped every time by the NFC North finishing the bottom?
Right.
Well, Carter, I think it expands beyond just the NFC North. This is what I was talking about earlier. You can look at these stats and you or records and say, well, they were 8-8 last year, 8-8 this year, 8-9 with a playoff loss. Add a little nuance to that conversation and just go and see how they get to 8-8. It wasn't 5 wins against teams with winning records. It was 1 win against a team with a winning record. And the discrepancy between them and the teams with winning records that they've lost to over the last couple of years is significant to me. So it's not just that you're 16-17 over the last 2 years. It's the manner in which you arrived there. If you want to truly know where you stand, go back and look at 2019. And of your 8 wins, see who you beat.
Right. You're no closer to winning a Super Bowl because you can't beat good teams. Even though you may not be 4-12,
amen.
You certainly play like you're 4-12 against the good teams. 332-3776. More of your phone calls coming up. And if you think the can't miss stuff is done after we interview George, it's not the case. First of all, we'll replay George at 5:15 if you missed it. And Lewis Riddick, everyone's favorite future GM, is going to join us at 4.
This hour is brought to you by Xfinity. Get the speed, coverage, and control you need with Xfinity X5.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Some cowbell here. Feel like we could all use some cowbell after the first hour of the show.
Why?
I just like the cowbell.
I feel like I've been hit with a cowbell.
Have you really? Do you feel
did
like you've
I
been
really
hit by a cowbell?
Did I really suck that bad?
Dude, you were
early
bad.
On?
Listen, like, oh, really bad. A chairman said you were bad.
But I was I said to you guys, like, I was doing radio and television while I was still playing.
Yeah, and Cap carried your ass.
Wow. Well, and that's how bad you were.
Dude, that's
Cap
that, like, you.
Do you
know Cap how many has to carry you?
Do you
know, suck.
Do you know
Sylvie,
how many times
Sylvie,
these two
choke.
Clowns have been
Sylvie,
screaming
don't,
at
don't
me?
Don't choke.
Dude, a football owner said that you were bad.
Well, he should have seen me as a player earlier. I got cut 4 times. I thought that was a better analogy.
Well, I mean, that would have been the CEO's job to cut you. Football guy.
And by the way, what did I say? I said Ted was the president of football ops?
Yeah,
well, what's
that's
the
what,
difference?
Or, no, he's the president of the team, right?
Well, what's the difference?
It's not.
Said, not the president of grocery store ops.
When you're president,
you're
president of football operations, you're president of business operations, you're president of everything Bears.
Right. So I wasn't wrong.
As a third party listening to the conversation, a lot of semantics being argued about there.
Yeah, well, that's
and
the
Sylvie,
trick.
great job at trying to find a different way to attack the concept ignoring of your questions with semantics.
Right. Look, that's a trick. You bog down the questioner with semantics instead of having to answer or explain why. Can I read you a tweet? This is really good. This is from my buddy.
Can you?
My buddy Lewis tweets. He runs one of the Bears websites too, Bleacher Nation Bears. He said, that's good semantics right there. Yeah.
That's what.
Very good. Yeah, that went over
guys,
my head for a second.
You didn't get it. You didn't
really
even
good.
Get it.
Really good, George.
The guys behind the glass actually giggled a little bit.
So they wrote up about, you know, a lot of the interview. They wrote up a lot about what he's about the Packers, how he hates losing the Packers, how he needs to get better against the Packers. And he brings up a good point. He wrote, this is what he tweeted. George McCaskey, losses to the Packers hurt more than others. George McCaskey, after watching the Packers beat the Bears 76-41 this year, stand pat, change nothing in an organizational structure that has resulted in the Bears losing 9 out of their last 10 in the series. You know what I mean? Like, do you really want to change it? Are you really upset that things are this bad? You say you hate losing to them. You say you need to be better. You've lost 9 out of 10. You lost by 35 points to them this year. And yet you say, let's stand pat.
This is the same organization that had the meeting at Lambeau after a loss. Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course I do.
That Larry
Virginia was,
yeah.
Yeah, was angry.
Pissed.
Sylvia, you said earlier something about why do you think they remain so loyal to the structure?
Okay, so, people came to me yesterday and they didn't know the Dave McGinnis story after I tweeted that early in the day. So it's 1998. The Bears go 4-12 again, back to back 4-12 years under Wani. Wani gets fired. Michael McCaskey is running the team. He's been running the team since the mid 80s. Not a lot of fans of Michael McCaskey. Michael McCaskey puts out a coaching search, 5 to 6 people. And he ends up deciding on Dave McGinnis. Dave McGinnis was a defensive coordinator at that time, and he was a former Bears linebacker coach under Ditka.
He's a great guy. I love Dave.
Great guy, great football guy, gregarious, good guy in the front for a Bears coach. And he announced that they hired him before McGinnis signed the deal. McGinnis was still negotiating salaries for his assistants, which Michael McCaskey was trying to shortchange him on. So McGinnis ends up walking out of the building, not taking the job, total embarrassment to the Bears. Virginia is so upset at Michael, who's her blood, her son, she basically fires him, bumps him up to the chairman position, and then goes out of the family for the first time in the history of the team to Ted Phillips. First time anyone's been president of the team outside that's not a Hallis, not a McCaskey. Ted hires a general manager, something they did not do since the late 80s, and gets a deal with the city of Chicago to build the stadium. Michael McCaskey was hated by Richard Daley, disliked big time. I believe the McCaskeys made a deal with the devil that if Ted got a stadium built, even though it's not a great stadium, that he got a job for life. So they went from not being able to hire a general manager, not wanting to, which Ted did, and not being able to build the stadium because the mayor couldn't stand the McCaskey family, going in, getting the job done in the city limits. I believe that it's been giving Ted this no-kill mentality. He cannot be killed, ever. He is here forever.
Is it business talk?
Yes, that's my business talk.
He's got
talk.
A no-kill pass? Is that what you're saying?
He's got 9 lives. You can't kill him. You've got a cheat code.
I got it. But, like, that doesn't mean you can't...
Of course.
...reassign him inside the organization.
Like
give him
I said.
Give him a raise.
John McDonough, 3 championships, fired by Rocky. I could go on and on. Q, blown out of there. Joe Maddon, let his contract expire. Way better sports people than him. Shrek in Florida, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Shrek?
What's up, fellas? It's an honor and a privilege to talk to you guys.
It's an honor and a privilege to talk to Shrek, is what it is.
Shrek, yeah.
Well, the funny thing is when Sweaty Teddy was talking about Lairs, I thought he was referring to me. I actually tweeted to you earlier, I'm the Florida guy. And I've been a Bears fan since '85, okay?
It's convenient. To the point where I don't want to spend any – I will not get the NFL ticket. I don't want to spend any more of my hard-earned money on their merch. When I got three teams, two of them within 2.5 hours from me, that I get to see their games every weekend for free. You know, they fired Lovie with a 10-6 record, the only other coach besides the coach to take them to the Super Bowl, and you're talking about wins? We know wins are important, but yet you're going to keep these clowns with a double 8-8 record?
Right, and you're going to keep Ted Phillips, right. Good call, Shrek. Thank you. 332-3776. A lot of people are saying it made them angrier listening to George on the show. We'll replay the George interview at 5:15. We've got Lewis Riddick, a guy who should be running a team. He still isn't. He had a great year in the Monday Night Football booth. What does he make of the Bears' decisions? He'll tell us in 2 short minutes.